Well, right after the 8:30 service, this last service, a gentleman came up to me and reluctantly kind of mentioned to me, he's like, hey, I'm not trying to bash the church that I'm coming from, but I just need to let you know I've been going to a church for a long time that's just kind of felt stagnant, and it feels like it's just dying. And he said, as soon as I walked into your church this morning, I felt the power and the presence of God. Anybody else excited to be in a church where you feel the power and presence of an almighty God? Super excited to have every single one of you with us today. If you're new, my name is Aaron, and I'm the lead pastor here. And if you're not in a hurry today, when we're done, we're doing this new thing just for brand new people. Three things in 3 minutes. It's over here in the VIP room, which is that little room as soon as you walk into our entrance doors to the left. And I'm going to tell you three things in 3 minutes, just keep you 3 minutes. So if you're here today and you're new, man, I'd love to invite you to come join us right after the service in the VIP room. Today, we are kicking off this new series called We Are Trace. And this series is going to give us an opportunity to reflect and even remind some of us of the kind of culture that we're trying to cultivate as a church. And in order to cultivate culture, we need your help. Like, I don't cultivate culture on my own. The people of a church, the family of believers, cultivate culture. And so it's going to give us an opportunity to revisit some of the things that we really would call cultural distinctives around here. For some of us, it's going to be an opportunity to learn for the first time what this church is actually about, because maybe you've just joined us here recently. But it's also going to be an opportunity for me to tell you that we are going after something. Like, we are going after something much bigger than any one of us individually could ever accomplish on our own, that we are going after something together. And I would tell you, without over-sensationalizing this at all, that I believe this will be one of the most significant years, if not the most significant years, in the life of this church. And you need to know that whether you have just joined us or you've been with us since the very beginning, we are not the kind of church that will settle for the status quo. We are not the kind of church that will settle, because we believe the message that we carry, the gospel message, is way too precious to be passive with. And go ahead and get your amens warmed up this morning, because I'm going to want to hear from you. The gospel is too precious to be passive with. You see, we happen to believe that the greatest calling, or maybe to borrow the words of Jesus, the greatest commission that has ever been given to mankind has been given to the local church. We carry the message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and we want to do everything we can to get that message in front of as many people as possible. We will do anything short of sin to get that message. And my watch is talking to me. Turn that off. But guys, to do that, we know that sometimes we might have to set aside personal success for kingdom significance, that we're going to have to give up some things that we want so that we can give more generously to the mission of God through Trace Church, that in order to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his purpose for our lives, we might have to set aside some personal preferences at times. But as a church, you just need to know this, and most of you do know this, we have determined that we are not going to settle for cultural Christianity, who just kind of casually follow Jesus until there's an inconvenience or maybe it costs too much. Not here, not us, and not now. We are simply not interested in nominal Christianity. This year will be one of the most significant years in the life of this church. And I want you to know now that we are going to dig deeper into discipleship and to be devoted to the Word of God. I want you to know that right now I am fired up and passionate about where I believe that God is taking us. And to prepare us for where I do believe that God is taking us, I'm going to have to preach some hard messages. And so I'm just here to tell you, you need to buckle up for this fall. Buckle up, because we're going to preach through a series that I've already been talking about called Unpopular. And the subtitle of this series is a series about God, not you. Anybody offended yet? It's a series about God, not you. And the reason why that subtitle is so important is because even in our faith journey, even in a journey where we know it's supposed to be all about Jesus, we end up making it too much about ourselves, don't we? And so I'm going to preach through this message series. And again, I'm just going to tell you, this thing has been brewing inside of me for 6 to 9 months. It very well could be the title of the first book that I write, and I don't even want to write a book. That's how fired up I am about this. So buckle up, church, because we need to get ready for the most significant year in the life of this church. But before we get there, we need to start here. because this series will establish what it means to be a part of this church. And for some, this might leave you or lead you to determine, you know what? This isn't the church for me, and that's okay. And maybe this leads you out the doors of our church, and we still love you, and you have every right to be wrong. But for many others, for the majority of us, I believe that this series will both challenge and convince you to not only see that this is exactly where God wants you, but to take another step to get even more involved so that we can accomplish something bigger together. We are here to take more ground for the kingdom of God in Colorado Springs. We are going after something, church. And we want to put hell on its heels and increase the capacity of heaven one person at a time. Come on, somebody. As a church, we are not going to be silent on hard subjects, and we aren't going to settle for entertaining those who are already saved. Instead, we are going to lock arms with Jesus and join him on his mission to seek and save those who are far from God. That's one of our mantras here, that we are going to embrace those far from God because Jesus made it clear that was his mission, to seek and save those who are lost. And so before I jump into my sermon today, can we just join together as a family and pray for everything I just mentioned? God, we pray for your blessing and favor. We pray for your guidance. We pray that you would prepare us for something significant. That this is not about just blowing smoke and trying to hype up a church, that I truly believe this will be the most significant year in the life of this church. And the way that we can add significance to it is if we're all bought in. If we all lock arms, specifically locking arms with each other in Jesus on his mission to kick down the doors of hell and go after what rightfully belongs to him. And so God, we pray for guidance. We pray for resurrection power. And we pray for clarity as we seek to save those who are lost. And all God's people said, amen. That was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. Now, to get us started today, what I actually don't want to do is talk too much about our church as much as I want to talk about the church. And what I mean by that is oftentimes we will reference like individual churches as little c churches, right? We are one church in the midst of God's global Christian church. And so we will say like, hey, Trace Church is a little c church and the big C church that God came to establish, specifically the church that Jesus came to establish about 2,000 years ago. And what I know and what most of you know is that if we don't reflect as a church, no matter how awesome it is, the things that we do and the kind of culture we want to create and the things that we go after, no matter how awesome those could potentially be, if we are not reflecting the church that Jesus came to establish 2,000 years ago, then all what we're doing is in vain. And so we want to make sure that we first get right what it means to be a part of the big C church that Jesus came to establish. And to do that today, I'm going to teach you your ABCs. And what I mean by that is I'm going to teach you the ABCs of church. And by no means is this belittling you, because I promise you, if you're in here with a Bible degree or if you're brand new to the faith, all of us are going to see the significance in what we establish today, maybe things that we need to be reminded of today. And so the ABCs of church are assignment, belief, and cost. When I say know your, you say assignment. Know your assignment. In Matthew chapter 16, and that's where we're going to be the majority of the morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn them open or turn them on, we'll be in Matthew's gospel in chapter 16 for the majority of our time. Here's what Jesus says. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? It's a name he would give had given himself. The Son of Man. Who do people say the Son of Man is? In other words, what's the word on the street? Like, what are people saying? I mean, I hear the whispers. I hear, you know, people trying to figure it out. What are you hearing? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, okay, what about you? And I would tell you that's the most important question that you'll ever answer in your life. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. First time Jesus ever mentions the word church. And the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it. Now, some have misinterpreted this passage to read that Jesus is saying to Peter, hey, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. This is where we would differ from Catholics. Catholics believe that that's what Jesus is saying. Where I would say that's not what Jesus is saying at all. And good heavens, if Jesus was actually going to build his church on Peter, Peter was a mess, right? I mean, Peter messed it up almost every turn on his journey of following Jesus. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all. I think the more clear and accurate interpretation of this text is he's saying, no, Peter, on that declaration that you just made, what you just declared, that I am the Son of the living God, the Messiah, I'm going to build my church on that declaration, which means, Trace, listen to me, which means to lock arms with Jesus on his mission, if he's going to build his church on that declaration, then we have to do every single thing in our power and every amount of influence that God has given us to point people to that truth, to point people to that declaration. That Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the only one that can remove your sins. He can replace your failures with freedom and forgiveness. He can replace your life of death with life. That Jesus is the only one who can set you free from darkness. Through him and only through him can you have the hope of heaven. But without him, you will have the destruction of hell. And speaking of hell, Jesus says, when a church keeps this as their main focus, hell doesn't stand a chance. Now, a quick side note, and I'll kind of get in some theological weeds here, and some of you guys geek out over this, and I love those kind of people who geek out over this kind of stuff, but if you're in ministry circles long enough, you're going to hear a pastor or some kind of spiritual leader say, hey, it's not your job, it's not our job to build the church. And I have no doubt that many of you have probably heard this along the way. It's not your job or our job to build the church. Jesus said, I am going to build the church. But I would say that's not what Jesus is saying at all. If you go back and look at all kinds of other texts, specifically the Great Commission, that he is commissioning us to go out into the entire world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, meaning we are pointing to that declaration over and over. By all means, Jesus is saying, lock arms with me. Yes, I'm going to build my church, which means he is the only one that can save anyone, but he does that through us, by us being the mouthpiece of letting people know that this is the most important question that you'll ever answer in your entire life. Who do you say that Jesus is? Let me show you how clear Paul made it in Romans chapter 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, hold on to that because we're going to belief next, and this is going to be something I point back to. He says, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring, baptism, openly declaring through your faith that you are saved. We don't teach that baptism saves you, but it's the open declaration. If you're ashamed of God, he'll be ashamed of you, he tells us. Baptism is a way for you to openly say, I am not afraid to show any of you that Jesus is the leader and Lord of my life. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him? Here it is. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That's our job. That's our assignment. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. When I say know your, you say assignment. Know your to do everything in our power, to leverage every bit of influence we have, to point out the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the only one who can set you free from sin and death. And that leads us to the belief. Jump down to verse 21 in Matthew 16. Jesus says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And that he must, that's an important word there, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. The number one belief that every single Christian should hold to, that props up every other belief that we hold to as Christians, is the resurrection of Jesus. Is the fact that he said, I'm going to die, at the hands of the chief priests and the Pharisees. I'm going to die, but I'm going to defeat death, and I'm going to walk out of that grave on the third day. You see, the reason why that's so important is because he made a really strong claim. Think about it. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. I can take away the sins of the world. That's a big claim. But it was the resurrection that gave validity. What am I trying to say? Validity. Is that the right word? Validity. Sorry. Kentucky creeps in every now and then. And I know I love all my Kentucky folks. Yeah, somebody's like, hey, watch it. Yeah, it was the resurrection that gave credibility to the claim. The resurrection is what gave credibility to the claim that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, let me show you how the Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. And your faith, it's useless. Jump down to verse 18. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Wow. The assignment, church, do everything in our power. Leverage every bit of influence we have to point to the declaration that Peter made. Who is he? He's the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah who came to take away the sins of the world. And what gives that claim credibility is resurrection power. The fact that Jesus actually did what he said he was going to do. He followed through on the fact that he was going to defeat death, walk out of a grave. And it's that resurrection power that gives credibility to the claim that he is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, that means we can stake our entire lives on everything else that he said. Everything he taught is trustworthy, and it's worth staking our lives on. And if it's worth staking our lives on, then every radical thing that we do in his name, in the name of a resurrected Christ, will never return void. The assignment is to point to a Savior. And the belief that he resurrected from the dead gives credibility to that claim. And that leads us to the cost. Potentially one of the hardest parts about being a follower of Christ is what we're going to read right here. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, hey, if any of you wants to be my follower, like you've already heard what I said I'm going to do. You've heard what I'm about. You've seen what I'm about. And so if you want to be my follower, then I'm asking you to give up your own way, to take up your cross. I'm going to take up mine. This is Jesus, right? Jesus says, I'm going to take up mine, but I want you to take up your cross. And I want you to follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you're going to save it. In other words, Jesus is asking, are you willing to stake your life on what I've said and what I've done? Because if you will, then you will have the gift of eternal life. But if you don't, the penalty will be eternal death. So ultimately what Jesus is saying here is you're going to have to choose a side. You're going to have to choose a side. And this can't just be about belief. Let me show you what James, the brother of Jesus, said about that subject. He said, you say you have faith, for you believe there is one God. Good for you. You hear the sarcasm? Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? I would maybe say that a little differently. Faith without follow-through, it's useless. Here's how I would sum up what Jesus and James are saying. A life fully surrendered to Jesus will always have follow through. Like, we don't get to play in both camps. We don't get to come over here and kind of live our life, live our best life and do our own thing and just dabble in whatever we want to dabble in the world. And then when we feel a little bit bad about ourselves, we come back to the cross. And then we kind of do our Christian charity, maybe we check off a couple boxes that make us feel a little bit better, and then we jump back into the world, and we still keep living our life and doing our own thing, not picking up any crosses. If anything, we're setting them down. By the way, I'm going to preach a message called When Did You Set Your Cross Down in that series called Unpopular. Jesus said, no, this is, it's not about playing in both camps. I'm asking you to choose a side. And if you choose the life that I'm calling you to, then it's going to require a cost. Have you counted that yet? Have you counted the cost? You see, obeying Jesus only when he makes sense to you doesn't make him your Lord. It makes him your advisor. Jesus can't be your advisor or consultant only when he makes sense to you. If you're inviting him to be your Lord, then he gets to lead the way in everything. Everything. This is why I don't like the language, hey, you just need to fall in love with Jesus. Anybody grew up in a youth ministry that said that? Especially young ladies. Just fall. You don't need to date any boys. Just fall in love with Jesus. Just fall in love. You know why I don't like that statement? If you can fall in love with Jesus, then you can fall out of love with Jesus. What he is asking is for you to fully surrender to him. To fully surrender to Jesus. Listen to me, all of it, everything. A life abandoned. You've heard me say this before. The hymn doesn't read or sing, some to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus is saying you're gonna have to choose a side. And if you want to join me on my mission, then know your ABCs, because I'm kicking down the doors of hell and taking back what belongs to God. And if there's any mission I want to be a part of in whatever little time I've got here on this earth, that's a mission I want to be a part of. I want to go after something significant. Understanding these core principles of the church are essential in helping us understand the significance of everything else that we hope to do as a church. And so if it's your desire to be a part of this church family, I want you to know your assignment. I want you to understand what it means to believe in resurrection power. And I definitely want you to count the cost. In this next year of ministry, which is now until the end of May, just so you know, in the ministry world, like the second week of August, which is why this place is so full today, is typically when everybody comes back. Summer's kind of slowing down. And so we kind of start our ministry year the second week of August through the end of May. And so I'm going to ask in this particular ministry year, I'm going to ask more of you. I'm going to ask that you give more. I'm going to ask that you study more. I'm going to ask that you show up more to church. By the way, guys, this was his idea. It wasn't mine. And we need to stop making petty excuses for showing up and gathering together. You've heard me say this so many times. When we gather together in agreement underneath the banner of the gospel, we believe that God's power and his presence is put on full display. And I don't want to re-preach sermons that I've already preached, but I believe to the bottom of my toes that every single week a breakthrough is possible in this room. And that the person sitting beside you right now gets to benefit from your praise and worship. Your invitation for the Holy Spirit to come and fill up this room. That the person in this room right now that is wrestling with doubts and their own broken decisions and wondering if God could use a wretch like them, that they will benefit from your faith, from your invitation for the Holy Spirit to come in here and wreck people in the best of ways. Stop making excuses for coming and gathering together as a body of believers, knowing that a breakthrough is right on the other side of somebody's brokenness. Can I get an amen this morning? And so if you'd rather be at a church where you can just come and consume and not contribute, whether you would rather just be comfortable instead of be challenged, now would be a good time to change churches. Spiritual complacency is killing the church in America right now, but not on my watch, not here, not Trace, not us, and not now. Let's go. We know our assignment. We believe in resurrection power. We have counted the cost, and we are ready to lock arms with Jesus and kick down the doors of hell and take back what belongs to God. Let me close with this, because I want to be clear about something. Although we are going to become more tenacious, although we are going to dig deeper into discipleship and being devoted to God's word, there are aspects of our culture that I don't want to ever lose, things that we built this church on. And so let me give you a couple things of what we're not changing, okay? Trace Church will always be a place where everyone is welcome. No one is perfect, and anything is possible. Trace Church is where we believe that if we do gather together in agreement, and God's power and presence will lead to breakthroughs every single week, which is why you need to start extending invitations. Your invitation could be the beginning to someone else's transformation. Do you know that? And I have lived this out so many times through my own personal invitations and yours to know. Extend the invitation and let God take it from there. That's why we put those invitation cards on your seat this week. Between now and our 7-year anniversary on September 10th, I want you to start inviting as many people as you possibly can to come and experience a church where they feel the power and presence of God. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. But I do believe we're creating something special. I really do. I really do. And I don't want you to be selfish with what you're experiencing here. Extend those invitations. Invite other people to come and experience this with us. Trace Church is where we're reminded that no matter how our story reads, all of us stand as equal before the throne of grace. All of us. All of us. Trace Church will always be a refuge for broken hearts, a training ground to advance the gospel of Jesus, and a place that you can stop pretending, because you cannot hide and you cannot heal at the same time. A culture of transparency is so important in this place, and what attracted many of you to come and what caused you to stay. So listen to me, I'll close with this last remark. If I'm going to be wrong, if I'm going to fail miserably, that I'm going to do so betting on the church, because Jesus said what he is building with us, the gates of hell don't even stand a chance. That's what I want to build with you. Sound good? Yeah, let's go. So Father, there it is. And here we are. We know the assignment. We believe in resurrection power. And for many today, we are counting the cost. In full transparency, many of us probably need to revisit that last one. Have we actually counted the cost? Are we staking our lives on the fact that this is the most precious message ever been given to humankind? And we carry it. We literally carry the message of life and death. Would you show us how to become more radical with that message? Father, I pray that as we go into a time of response today, that we would remember what it cost Jesus, that we would remember that we get to walk in abundant life and one day in eternal life with him and you because of what he was willing to go through, what he was willing to give up. And God, that would allow us to have a deep kind of soul reflection this morning of what it is that we need to give up, maybe what it is that we need to count the cost. Would you guide us in these next few moments, Lord? Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.